Returning to Joshua chapter 12, as we consider many enemies, but one victor. Joshua chapter 12, we're reading the whole chapter. Chapter 12. Now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side Jordan toward the rising of the sun, from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon, and from all of the plain on the east. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon and ruled from Aroer, which is upon the bank of the river Arnon, and from the middle of the river, and from half Gilead, even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon, and from the plain to the sea of Kinneroth on the east, and to the sea of the plain, even the salt sea on the east, the way to Beth Yeshimot, and from the south under Ashdod Pishgah, and from the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants that dwelt at Ashtaroth and Edrei, and reigned in Mount Hermon, and at Salcah, and at Bethgashan, unto the border of the Geshurites, and the Maacathites, and half Gilead, the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Then did Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the children of Israel, smite. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it for a possession unto the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this river Jordan on the west, from Baal-Gad to the valley of Lebanon, even unto Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, which Joshua gave unto the tribes of Israel for a possession according to their divisions. In the mountains, and in the valleys, and in the plains, and in the springs, and in the wilderness, and in the south country, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The king of Jericho, one. The king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, one. The king of Jerusalem, one. The king of Hebron, one. The king of Jarmuth, one. The king of Lachish, one. The king of Eglon, one. The king of Gezer, one. The king of Debir, one. The king of Gedor, one. The king of Hormah, one. The king of Arad, one. The king of Libnah, one. The king of Adullam, one. The king of Makkedah, one. The king of Bethel, one. The king of Tapua, one. The king of Hefer, one. The king of Aphek, one. The king of Lasharon, one. The king of Madon, one. The king of Hazor, one. The king of Shimron Merom, one. The king of Aksaph, one. The king of Taanach, one. The king of Megiddo, one. The king of Kadesh, one. The king of Jokneam of Carmel, one. The king of Dor in the coast of Dor, one. The king of the nations of Gilgal, one. The king of Tirzah, one. All the kings, 30 and 1. The precious word of the living and the true God. Jesus says this, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." It's an echo of Psalm 37 and verse 9. It says, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth." And we, who live in a time when we see the enemies of God seeming to have influence and power over the face of the earth, may want to say, really? And so the importance of Joshua chapter 12 is accented for us. Joshua chapter 12 is helping us to understand the pattern of the victor, the one who rules and gives the inheritance. We know it's the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that he's pictured in the time of Joshua because we've learned this before. But here, in chapter 12, the scope of the conquest stretches back. We go all the way back to a broader perspective, the conquest under Moses. The conquests that were outlined for us in the book of Numbers, the conquests that were described, the regions that were described in the book of Deuteronomy. In verses 1 to 6, we go all the way back to the legendary conquests under Moses. The people of the land hadn't forgotten this. Rahab remembered it. Og and Bashan were defeated in that time. We need to understand that this is done so that we might see the connection between what happened under Moses and what's happening under Joshua today. Lest we forget, as we began the book of Joshua, we remembered that there were people who were going to settle on the east side of the Jordan. Or they were going to settle on the side of the Jordan before the entry into the land. These people are one. They are united under one God, having a united people over many nations. One victor over many enemies. And we need to see the pattern of God's giving of the land as we begin to read verses or chapters 13 and following. We'll see the inheritance of the land given and divided up geographically, because God has brought about the conquest of the land so that he can distribute it to his people. And his people are one. The people who are on the other side of the Jordan and the people that are on this side of the Jordan, one people of God, victorious. And so that's why it's important that we look back and see not only the connection between Moses and Joshua, but also the connection between the people of God on both sides of the Jordan, the people that are one, that God has given this land to. Those who will inherit the earth, we begin to see a foretaste of it here in the book of Joshua. We begin to see how it looks, because God gives this victory. He's given it in so many different ways. This list of kings who were conquered is a list of those that the Lord defeated. Those who are defeated are listed in verses 7 to 24, and there are 31 of them. They're listed one by one. You might say, well, no, why didn't you say he defeated 31 kings? Because it's more effective this way. When you're at a graduation ceremony and you're with your family, everybody else is with their family too. And when you're with your family and they call out people's names one by one, and your family is sitting there and they're remembering the years of work, the transportation back and forth, the late nights, the anxiety before the tests, the completion of those tests, and everything that goes into it. And they call up those names one by one. But each one is important. And the cumulative effect of hearing all of those names one by one is to understand that there's a story, a history behind each single name. Each name is called. The families know it. But you begin to recognize that this graduation ceremony is a wonderful expression of the completion of a period of struggle to obtain something. And that's what's happened here in the land. The people of God, when they hear these kings' names one by one, it's like an inventory of God's victories. It's more effective this way. A representative list of defeated kings has a greater impact than the sum of all of its parts. You hear them one by one. That king was defeated. That king was defeated. That king was defeated. That king was defeated. Here are their names. And they belong to the living God. He has conquered them. He has conquered them and given them over to the people of God who are united as the victors because God is with them. There are many Canaanites in the land. There are many people groups. And they're listed for us. We see geography here in this chapter. We see names of tribes. We see names of kings. Many enemies. But they're all defeated. One by one. It's like someone dares you to do something and offers you a certain amount of money if you do it. And you pull it off. And they said they were going to give you $17. And you ask for it once. And I want you to count it out. $1. $2. $3. $4. Maybe it's someone in your family you really want to, you know, here, say, $5, $6, $7. That's what's happening here. Victory. The completion of the work. The graduation into the land to the point of receiving your inheritance. Total triumph from one God for one united people. And then we think of our great warrior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We consider what he has done. He is the King of Kings. The book of Revelation will make this extremely clear as king after king succumbs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And one by one, as we read through Scripture, we understand the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. This victory is designed to give us a taste of it, to see the pattern. But when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed as the victor, on the pages of Scripture, those that he has conquered are amazing in their scope. Herod won. Sin won. Death won. Satan won. Even you. Yes, he has conquered you. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a product of his victorious work. Through his death and resurrection applied to you by the Holy Spirit, you are one of the people of God. You are part of the united people of God under the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a glorious taste of victory to know that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Body and soul, you belong to your faithful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every other believer belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, has been conquered and won for the kingdom of God by the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, you are united to them. Those who used to be enemies of God are now His people, joined with you under the Lord Jesus Christ. This victory that is described in Joshua 12 is not just some history lesson. This is your life. This is how you are to understand the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has conquered for you, and He has conquered for the sake of God's glory, sin, and death, and Satan, and you, and every other believer. And He has conquered kings. And He will demonstrate the conquering of His kings when He comes back. In fact, the book of Philippians puts it this way. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. This is far bigger than just simply the conquest of a portion of land in the ancient Near East and all the tribes and kings listed as underneath the people of God. This is every single knee bowing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever enemy you face today or this week, your boss, the bully on the playground, will bow the knee. Someone in your past. Every knee will bow. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The glory of God the Father. Complete, supreme victory. And the joy. The incredible joy of being on the winning side. Why, it's even better than the joy of a graduation ceremony. It's even better than the gleeful pleasure of winning a dare and having someone. I'm not saying you should bet on dares and, you know, count out the money, you know. But people do take pleasure in that. You have the privilege of taking pleasure and the victorious work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a glorious thing that He's a conqueror of death. It's a glorious thing that He's the one who conquers sin. It's a glorious thing that He can subdue you and make His enemies into His children. It's a glorious thing that the Lord Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth, and that every knee is going to bow to Him. It's a glorious thing that Joshua, on the pages of Scripture, is a successor to Moses, but also points forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a glorious thing that the Lord Jesus Christ begins to unpack His work in the Gospel of Luke and then finishes it in the book of Acts from heaven. It's a glorious thing that the Lord Jesus Christ wins. If we rejoice in these lesser things, how much more do we have the privilege as God's people of rejoicing at the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ? When you have the Holy Spirit, you know. You can read the pages of Scripture and find other enemies that the Lord Jesus Christ has defeated. And rejoice. One by one, they belong to Him. So that secret thought. That burning desire. that evil intent. The jealous, envious plan cannot succeed. Part of our sanctification, part of our understanding of who we are, is to understand that we are one people of God under this victor. We have been many enemies, but we are all one people now. And the victory comes exclusively through the Lord Jesus Christ, but is distributed to his people. What glorious stories of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ will there be when he comes again and you're in new bodies and you're able to describe how he won the victory in your life over that. Jesus wins. Jesus rules. And you are part of the people of God designed to see it in all of its splendor and glory. Joshua 12 is like a grid through which we can see the rest of the Bible. We can see it outlined as we begin to understand his victory in Genesis 3:15. As we see how it stretches all the way to Revelation 19, Revelation 21, 22. As we see the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ described in 1 Corinthians 15 when he hands over the kingdoms of the Father. Even that snake clasping Paul's hand over the fire was designed to show the power of God to protect and save his people. Everything that Jesus Christ accomplishes is victorious. When he brought you to salvation, when you confessed Jesus Christ, no mistake was made. It wasn't as though he begrudgingly started with you and said, well, I guess I'll finish that one late. The Lord Jesus Christ is obtaining the victory in you. That's why 1 Philippians 1 verse 6 says this, that we are confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Everything the living God is doing in you through the presence of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is designed for victory. And he will complete. And that's the confidence, brothers and sisters, that we need to grow in a world full of enemies.